You know how I can tell? Because I'm sweating. I haven't sweat like this in a long time. Hallelujah. I almost said a joke, but I'm not going to say it. Okay. But I am sweaty. Praise your size. Hallelujah. Good to be here. My name is Pastor Harris, and I welcome you to First Open Bible. So glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for being in the house today. Thank you for joining us for worship today. So I want to ask you, how was your week? Honest, how was your week? It was, this is good, this is, it's okay, and this isn't bad. Just put it up. How's it going? That's good. Okay. Some thumbs down, some sideways, thumbs up. We got a house full of humans. Hallelujah. Humans living in a broken world with broken bodies. Well, you're in the presence of the living God, who every day is like this. So meet whatever day and week that you've had with him. I want to ask you another question. How are you generous this week? I gave a challenge last week about being generous. Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but I want to ask you the question. How were you generous this week? And here's the most important one of all. Because anybody can be generous. But what kind of attitude did you have while you were blessing other people? That's what's important. What kind of attitude did you have? And I'm not just talking on the outside. We're all good at maybe putting on a front, a facade. But how were you on the inside while you were giving? Remember, if you're giving to receive, you didn't give anything at all. That's selfish. You're giving to receive, which means, in fact, you're actually trying to receive. If you're giving to give, then you understand what it means to be generous. Our current theme here at First Open Bible is generous. The adjective definition of generous is showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected. Now, last week, God gave us a great message of having a cheerful heart. Everybody, give me a smile. Give me a smile like you brushed your teeth this morning. I even got the front so they can shine. All right, cool. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's a smile on the inside. I just made that up. You cannot claim to know Christ and follow Christ and be a stingy person. Okay? For all my stingy people, can I get a hey? I'm just playing. Hey. Okay. What's up, stingy? All right. See, the true gospel of Jesus opens up our hearts to receive and opens up our hands to give. Why? Because Christian giving and Christian generosity, it always starts where? It starts in our heart. Being generous is about our heart. And where your heart is, you find your time, your talents, and your treasures. So maybe we need to move our time, our talents, and our treasures around to get our hearts in the right position. If our hearts are in the right position, it'll lead us into opportunities to be generous. Following Jesus will make us into generous givers. Do you remember falling in love with Jesus that first time? Do you remember that first week, that first month, that first year? You would do anything for God. If he said, sell that shirt you have on right now, or sell that car, or give it away, or do this or that, you'd do anything. Remember that? You just were ready to give. Man, I have received the greatest love of all. I cannot even explain it. All I can explain is I'm so full of generosity and appreciation that I have to do something. Right? Tap into that, church. Remember what it was like. Mine was in 9th grade. I remember the very first time I had to do something. So I saw a need, and what was my first thing I did? I was in 9th grade, so I was a freshman in high school. I said, what do you need? What do you need? We need some help in the 3- and 4-year-old's room. I said, I'm there. Whenever you need it, whatever you need, I'm there. I have to do something. And I did it for years. I loved it. You have to do something. See, when you follow Jesus, it's going to make you a generous giver. So what does generous giving take? takes compassion. It takes compassion. See, compassion is a powerful word. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. What does having compassion for someone mean? It means that you're going to go further than just empathizing with their situation. Oh, man, that's really bad what's going on that island that Pastor talked about and what the church has talked about. That's really, really bad that they're really going through that. I empathize with them. I feel sorry for them. See, it goes further than that when you're talking about compassion. It means you jump into the situation. You jump into their situation by feeling their suffering. And you're compelled to be generous with your generous heart, and you must help them out. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded," right? We all got to think alike, like-minded, right? We might have different opinions, but we all need to be on the same page. We need to think alike. "Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate," and a hard one for Americans, "and be humble." Have humility. Compassion. The origin of the word helps us grasp the true depth and significance of this. In Latin, compati, the word compati in Latin means suffer with. To suffer with. Compassion means this. Someone else's heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. Man, what you're going through, I'm not just going to feel sorry for you. Now I feel you. I'm with you. How do we get through this? Man, maybe some of you start crying with them. Maybe some of you start loving on them. Maybe some of you just jump into that situation and their heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. Another person's suffering becomes your suffering. Man, I feel for what you're going through and it breaks my heart. I'm suffering with you. Let's get through this together. Compassion gives us the ability to understand someone else's situation by the desire to take action to improve that situation. For people who are dependent on others for help, compassion is often the most important factor in allowing them to lead a fulfilled life. You know there are some people that will never leave, they will never live a complete fulfilled life unless you do something to help them. Did you understand that? Y'all know that you have divine appointments in your life, right? You have divine assignments. You have divine people that walk in and out of your life. There are opportunities that are aligned eternally with you that you must be a part of. And if you're not, whatever that was, that maybe was your assignment, you're going to miss out, and so will they. You can help someone live a fulfilled life by doing what God has called you to do through compassion and generosity to help them have a complete and fulfilled life. You understand that? Amen? Now, you're not replacing Jesus. You just might be an example of Jesus to them for a certain amount of time, or maybe all of their life, or maybe all of yours. True compassion changes not only the way that others live, but it changes the way generous people live as well. It changes the way we see other people. It changes the way we see their situation. And it changes the way we see their suffering. So how can you become more compassionate? How can you become more compassionate, church? You practice generosity to the ones that are suffering. Amen? Pastor Mark, will you come?
Good morning, everyone. As you just introduced me, I'm Pastor Mark Cullum, the connection pastor here at First Open Bible, and been helping Pastor Harris as we coordinate a day today that we're calling Compassion Sunday. The Lord laid this on Pastor Harris's heart sometime back, and the idea here is that we want to not just be generous and compassionate in our hearts. That's where it all starts. But at some point, we have to put legs and feet and hands to our generous hearts. And so we have set aside today as Compassion Sunday. And honestly, I can't wait to see what God is going to do through our church this morning. So let me begin by giving you just a brief explanation of what Compassion Sunday is. Today, again, is a day that is set apart. This is a consecrated day. It's already started out a little bit different than what our services have been lately, huh? So maybe that's just an indication that God's up to something maybe a little bit different, something a little bit different than what you're used to. What is the norm for you? Maybe this is a day for you to not only respond to God in praise and worship, but to respond to God's call to our lives. It's incumbent upon each of us. We've been called to care for those who are poor. We're called to alleviate poverty to the extent that we are able to. And on this Compassion Sunday, you may be asking, how do we do that? Well, we're going to ask and encourage each of you to prayerfully consider today to do so through child sponsorship. We've partnered with an organization called Compassion International. Some of you are familiar. Some of you may already be involved with sponsoring a child through Compassion International. But it's a ministry that is dedicated to providing care for children around the world that are living in poverty with the aim that they can escape from the vicious cycle of poverty. Compassion does this by connecting children with local churches. Through that, they can receive physical, emotional, and spiritual care by our generosity. It connects that child with a loving sponsor, someone who will love them, someone who will speak life into their lives, even though it may be from thousands of miles away. Now, currently, my wife and I, we sponsor a child through another child sponsorship agency, and I think 5 or 6 years? Yeah. Her name is Angelina. Angelina, we've got to see her grow from just a toddler state. Now she's she was maybe 6 or 7. Now she's 12, something like that. And she sends us pictures and letters on a periodic basis, and we have the opportunity to send letters back and ask her how things are going and to tell her about ourselves as well. And I think our lives are better for that. So maybe to give you just a little bit better understanding of what this is all about and the power of child sponsorship, I'd like for us to just take a couple minutes here and watch this short video.
God wants us to help other kids so we can make a difference, so that people in other countries have exactly all that they need.
This is our story of sponsoring a child with Compassion.
So, let's start off with compassion. Compassion is a thing that helps other kids develop and get what they need and stuff.
The Bible's pretty clear that generosity is not about how much you have, it's about what you do with what you have.
I remember our pastor at our church sharing about how if you don't have to walk to work every day and you have a car, like, you are like one of the wealthiest people in the world. That perspective made me realize how much I really have. And I realized that it was really important that we start being generous.
You know, we wanted to sponsor a child, and so we looked with Evie and picked out a child whose birthday was kind of close to hers. So they were around the same age, and it was a girl also. And her name is Maribella, and she's from the Philippines.
Maribella is 6. She likes singing. She also likes drawing, I think.
Understanding the concept of poverty isn't personal until you put a face to it. And Compassion put a face to poverty and a child's name to poverty. And it became this huge concept that's just out there somewhere and gave us an actual person to impact.
So Maribel's year was like they had hurricanes. Hurricanes over there, typhoons over there. It made me want to help them because when I think about things that I didn't really like or times where it was hard, I think about poverty and how hard poverty would be. And I thought, I wonder how how these people feel.
I was in the kitchen, and Evie woke up and came in the kitchen, and she literally walked out of her bedroom with this idea pretty much fully formed, to the degree that she shared with me, "Dad, I had this idea that I could draw pictures, me and my friends could draw pictures, and then people could buy the pictures for $1, and then we could send that money to people who are poor."
I hoped that it would make a difference, that I'd make enough art to raise $500.
You know, she came out of her bedroom thinking about someone else, which is huge for a child to do, and then thinking, what do I have? What ability, what assets do I have that I can use to make a difference?
So, you know, we thought that getting involved with Compassion, sponsoring a child, we were going to be making a difference. And what we found is that through that, Compassion has given us a story and this purpose.
Well, God wants us to do our gifts because He wants to make the world a better place and a better place for other people.
We don't consider ourselves as having very much, but because we had this priority, both of the type of family we wanted to be, the type of people we wanted to be as followers of Jesus, as parents, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so you have to move your treasure around to put your heart in the right place.
As people are thinking about whether to sponsor a child, I want to tell everybody, like, do it. Like, it's going to change your life. Like, you need to do it.
So the blue is the sad kid because he doesn't have enough of what he needs. They need food, water, and medical service, and shelter. And the yellow is the happy kid because he has enough of what he needs, and he's been sponsored. We can all show kids the love of Jesus. Sponsor a child and make a difference.
They always say the toughest time to be a part of a talent show is when you have to go after a child. You can never beat that. Yeah, and it's hard to say much more than what Evie had shared with us in that video. It's videos like that and people's testimonies like that that cause me to believe that I think God is calling us. He's calling the church to step up. To make an impact. Because of COVID, things have shut down quite a bit, and we've sort of pulled in a little bit more than we normally would have. And so maybe this morning God is speaking to your heart to just kind of crack open those doors again to your life, to open your heart maybe once again. We don't want anyone to feel guilty in any way, but there are so many children around the world like Maribella, like Angelina, and Pastor Harris is going to be sharing about a child that they have sponsored that who are among, you know, the have to face such incredible odds just to get a meal on any given day, and for them their lives feel somewhat hopeless. Each of these children really needs to be reminded that they're valuable, no matter where they live, no matter what circumstances they're growing up in. They are valuable. That there's a God that loves them. And that there is hope. And so today I want to invite you, and we as a church invite you to generously provide that hope for a child that is living in poverty. It's a wonderful opportunity, I think, for us to answer God's call to care for the poor. It's never a question of should we care for the poor. I think we all know that we should do that. The question is how? How can we do it? And I believe that saying yes to a sponsorship of a child today, that you're not only be offering hope to a child, but as this family shared, it built a new hope in their own lives. It expanded their horizons. It made their lives better. They didn't give in order to get that. That's just a natural byproduct of giving and of being compassionate and of being generous. In addition, as I just shared, you're able to build a relationship with this child. We used to have pen pals when I was in grade school. Did you all have pen pals? Some of you did. What a wonderful thing to hear about the life of somebody else around the world, maybe in a culture that you'll never get to. So perhaps today, if you're sensing God's speaking to you to sponsor a child. After service today, we have a table set up in the foyer. Myself and Carolyn Wagner will be there to assist you with any questions that you might have. But we have 25 packets. There are 25 individual children of poverty, but also children of God that need our help. So again, I'll be at the table along with Carolyn today. How much does this cost? That's what everybody usually is going to ask, right? Well, it's a set monthly fee, and your tax deductible contributions of $45 a month are what it takes to connect you with a child that's living in poverty with a loving church-based, First Open Bible Church-based child sponsorship program. When you give, you support medical checkups. Many times those save lives. It provides nutritious food. It provides health and hygiene training. It provides educational assistance, access to special services like surgeries and disaster relief, mentoring to help children discover who they are as children of God. And most of all, your sponsored child is going to hear about Jesus Christ. They're going to be hearing about Jesus Christ. It's one thing to give food. It's one thing to give water and assistance in those ways. I am so excited about this because they will also hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with him. Wouldn't it be cool to one day get a letter from the child you've sponsored as they share with you that they gave their heart to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome? And even if that never happens in this life, imagine that one day when you and I are walking the streets of gold and someone comes up to you and says, "You remember that child you sponsored that Sunday in April in 2021? That's me. And I'm here because of what you have done." How awesome would that be? Again, we have 25 children that need to be sponsored. There are hundreds and thousands more. But our church has decided to make that offer. And again, if there are more than 25 of you that want to sponsor a child, we'll find more children, that's for sure. But when these children find out that they've been sponsored, their testimonies are incredible too. The joy that they feel, knowing that someone in this world cares enough about them to do this for them. When you find out that someone cares about you, how does it make you feel? Sponsoring a child in need, again, will profoundly change the future of these children, but it will change you and me as well. So this is a powerful chance for us to put feet to the feelings of generosity that we have in our heart. And I pray that you will generously answer this call. It's a holy call because it's a call to hope. And for me, I can't wait to hear some of the testimonies that some of you share about how your generosity has impacted the lives of someone else around the world. Pastor Harris, will you come back?
Amen. I want to read you a verse. Well done. Well done. Hebrews 13, verse 16. "And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." Yes. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, simple as that. Come on now. It's true. Compassion International is a non-denominational Christian organization. It was established in 1952. Here's its motto, okay? Quote, "Releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name," end quote. Oh, that's awesome. The founder in 1952, the reason why this happened, he was inspired by words that were found in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. It's Matthew 15, 32. This is what he read, and he had compassion for what is happening now. "Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. It's like, I have to do something. Jesus is the core of their ministry at Compassion International. And Jesus' life, his teachings, they shape their programs, reflect the spiritual commitments of their staff, and guide how they love people, respect communities, and cooperate with nations. They're the world's leading authority in holistic children development through sponsorship. They carefully blend physical, social, economical, and spiritual care together in Jesus' name. They do all of their work through partnerships with thousands of local churches in 25 different countries in the world. Now I want to talk to you personally a little bit about why this struck my heart and we had to do something today, and I was very excited for it. And Pastor Mark, you've been excellent helping me. Absolutely excellent. I appreciate that very much. 2 years ago, my wife and I went to a Christian concert here in town. And Compassion International did a presentation, probably much better than this one, but we're giving it our best. But during the intermission time, they had it all down, they had it all played and put together, and instantly my wife and my heart was touched. Whew. Wow, Lord. As we listened, our hearts were overwhelmed with compassion, and we knew we needed to join this organization in helping sponsor a child. I believe, I just found out too, that Matt and Sherry Pfeiffer were there at the same concert, and that's when they started sponsoring their child as well. What we did was this. We looked at packets, like you're going to look at today if you want to. No pressure, just an opportunity. Look at packets and of these kids, and we prayed, and we decided we wanted to sponsor a child that was around the same age as our son Hudson. Now, Hudson's 8 now, but 2 years ago, he was 6. And the reason for that was that that way they could write each other letters. And they were about the same age, so they can relate with one another. Now, that might be different. I saw on my way in, there's a little baby named Dance. Right? What do we do today? How cool is that? I just saw a little baby's name is Dance. Yes. That's cool. Cool name. So we found this young boy. His name is Brayan. He's just 2 months older than Hudson. Brayan lives in Nicaragua. He has a mommy and a daddy and a sibling. And there's 431 children in Brayan Center. And we send him a birthday gift every year, and we send him a Christmas gift every year. Now, I want to show you some information. So this is the packet that we got. We kept it. And here's a little Brayan. This is what he looked like when we had him. I know you might not be able to see him. That's a more recent picture of him. He's grown up some. But here's some of the information about Brayan that I read about. So your sponsor child, he lives on the plains of Ciudad Sandino. Ciudad Sandino. Somebody might know better than me. Home of approximately 120,000 people. Typical houses are constructed of dirt floors, wood walls, and they have tin roofs. The most commonly spoken language is Espanol. Right? Where are we at, Walter? There it is. I knew it. All right. I got you. We said something to each other in Spanish. I don't know what it was. The regional diet, what they eat in Nicaragua, where he lives, is mostly beans, bananas, chicken, bread, plantains, potatoes, and rice. Here's the health problems that they have in their area. Diarrhea, malaria, respiratory diseases. Lots of problems. Most adults that live in this area are unemployed, but some of them do work in factories. And this is how much they earn per month. $66 per month. That is under $800 per year. Remember what we said last week? This community needs vocational training, law enforcement. We do too. There's a lot of people trying to do a lot. Okay, that's a whole thing. And employment opportunities. Your sponsorship allows the staff. So What they do is there's a staff in that region, and they meet with different churches. They come together, and they make centers, and then they reach out to the kids, and they bring them in. This is what our sponsorship, $45 a month, it goes to this for him, for Brian. Bible teaching, medical exams, health instruction, nutritious meals, recreational activities, tutoring, and academic support. The center will also provide Bible teachings, retreats, and meetings for parents and guardians of our sponsored child. It doesn't just reach Brian, it reaches his family as well. I love that. So let me show you just a couple cool things. Here's some things that Brian gave us. So, you know, we have COVID here, and everybody's dealing with it in their own way. But there's other countries that they have no choice. They have no choice. You do whatever the government says or else. There's just no choice. He lives in a place like this. So we're unable to, like, send messages like we once did where we can write out. But what's cool is there's an app. Now we can send digital messages because everything in his life is distanced. So, like, if we're going to meet together, I have to be that far apart. They can put a meal down for you and give you some information and stuff, but you have to walk up to it as they leave. You cannot be around people. That's just where he lives in the time that he lives in. But here's some cool stuff. He wrote a whole bunch of stuff to us in Spanish, and then he drew us a picture. Right? Isn't that cool? He drew us a picture, and then it translates for us because I don't read Spanish very well. I can just do that really cool sound I did earlier. That's about it. So, and then he drew us another picture. Here's some more stuff. And we write him back, and he tells us about his life, and he wants to know about our life, and we could send pictures. And here's the very first letter that he ever wrote us and the very first picture that he ever drew us. 6 years old. And he keeps telling us, and he wants to know about our life. We send pictures of Hudson and Lindley, our two kids and our family, and we've sent stuff to him, and it's been an absolute blessing to learn more about his life and give to him. And what is $45 to me? One meal. What's $45 to Brian? His entire life. It's his life. It's not only his life, it's his parents' life. That's what's incredible to me. We have no clue. We just don't, how blessed we really are. Can you imagine earning $800 per year? Per year. Now Brian's dad might get a little bit more. He's in transportation, but his mom doesn't work. But he's doing the best he can to keep his family in order and protected and healthy. But it sounds like Brian doesn't even have police officers and things like that to keep his family healthy. So what a blessing it is that the church has come in not only to protect, but to love and to give. They're generous. I love it. In this last year, I received an email last month, I believe. It was in March. Maybe it was at the end of February. But 12 months prior to that, in 1 year, during the pandemic, sponsors of Compassion International helped the staff all over the world do this. They provided children 10,614,674 food packets. 7,128,706 hygiene kits, and 970,660 people received medical aid. All because we gave $45 a month and somebody else did too. Compassion International is a great opportunity for us to put generosity into action, or as Pastor Mark said, put some legs to it. We are the hands and feet of who? Y'all don't know? We're the hands and feet of who? Jesus. If we're not going to do it, church, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Now, right after service, Pastor Mark said, and we have 25 sponsor packets. If you're on online church today or later, Miss Sherry's going to put a link out there for you to get on to Compassion International and figure out there how you can sponsor a child, unless you want to call the office and somehow we can get you connected. But there should be a link out there for you to click on, and you can join on after we're done, right? Don't click on it now, then you're going to lose what we're saying, right? I know better because, well, that's exactly what I have done. Oh, cool, click. Squirrel, right? Whoop. Oh, pastor's preaching. I better go back. Now, you do not have to join Compassion today. You do not have to do it. You do not have to sponsor a child today. This is not a requirement. And just like I said, this is not pressure. This is an opportunity. It's just say opportunity, church. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we said it before. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who is a cheerful giver. Amen? Please, never, church, hear me, never give out of compulsion. Always give out of compassion. Don't give out of compulsion, give out of compassion. It's up to you and your family to decide how you want to help. You want to help? You don't want to help? You want to do it later? Do it now? Whatever. Here's a fact. It doesn't have to be compassion. It can be a different ministry. It could be both. Here's what we must do. Church, look at me. We have to do something. We come in every Sunday and we learn about the word, but where is it in our life? We have to do something, because if we don't, who will? Does not the Holy Spirit empower you to do what God has called you to do in your life? To follow Jesus in faith? We got to do something. Every single person who calls Jesus Christ Lord must do something before you're taken from this earth. You have to. We have to. It's a mandate. Go into all the world. Preach the good news. Well, guess what? You can't go. We cannot go to Nicaragua right now, but our $45 a month goes to Nicaragua in a way that we could never even imagine and blesses a little child like we can't even dream of. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. It's up to you and your family to decide. Church, don't forget this. Super important. We don't own anything, but we steward everything. Worship team, will you come, please? We don't own anything, but we steward everything. And if you live in America, you got a lot more to steward. We have a good and big responsibility to steward what God has given us. Raise your hand if you've been on a mission trip before. Okay? Raise your hand and keep it raised if you've been on a mission trip and it changed your life, perspective, your heart, your mind, and your checkbook. Now wave it in the air like a Pentecostal would. Come on. Hallelujah. Right? Put a little hanky in there or something. Like when you do this, a choir should just pop up behind you. Oh, right? That'd be cool. Anyway, it happens on movies. Why doesn't it happen in real life? Anyway. What I want us to do right now is pray. Okay? We're going to pray and we're going to ask God what he wants to do through us. What does God want to do through us? And like I said, if it's not compassion today, it better be something soon. Amen? It's got to be something. Ask God. Maybe you say, I don't have $45 a month. Well, let's try to figure that out. What do you have? Maybe you partner with somebody else. Man, I only have 20, but I know my friend who has 25. Well, then go together and sponsor a kid. Or find something else that you can do 20 with. Or maybe you just figure out how you can sponsor an open Bible missionary or something. Somewhere. We have to be giving. Our giving is going to come through because of what Christ did in our life. Compassion compels our hearts, thank you, to do something, right? Who wants more compassion in their life? I do. I need it. I need it. I need it. Will you stand with me, please? I want to pray for you, myself. My wife and I in the near future. Now, I realize some of you have to move around your budget. We want to sponsor a little girl for Lindley, same age, but we have to talk about our budget, and we have to move some things around because we're going from 45 to 90. So how do we do that? What can we do? What can we cut? Where can we go to make our budget work so we're giving into the kingdom of God? That's something we're going to do. Maybe some of you have that same thing. Man, I need to work on my budget a little bit. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to go home and forget about it. Forget about that God is putting something on your heart right now that you have to do something. Amen? Amen. Will you extend your hands to heaven? International sign of surrender, but this is also a position of receiving. God, we're receiving from heaven whatever you have right now. Lord, whatever it is that you have from the top of our fingertips to the bottom of our soles of our feet right now, fill us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us with compassion, love, mercy, and grace. Whatever it is, may you provide so we can be a conduit, not only of your presence, but of your blessings. Let us be a conduit from heaven through us into the world. Lord, as we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, God, may you give us an opportunity to be a blessing to others. I'm reminded that you blessed Abraham and all of his seed. And we've been grafted in because of Jesus to be Abraham's seed. And it says that we will go on for all generations and we will bless all the nations of the world. We will bless all the nations of the world, even sitting in here, Cedar Rapids or the surrounding area, or online, wherever you're at. And we will go on and we'll bless the world. Why? Because we are blessed. May we be conduits of your blessing right now. May you move upon our hearts. In this next song, may we have an opportunity to maybe talk to our family members, or if it's just us today, may we just settle in our heart what we want to do. Is it this? Is it something else? Maybe it's something that's been on your heart for a while and you haven't really been able to be pushed. Well, let the Holy Spirit push you today. He's reminding you, yes, do it, go. And if you follow the leading of the Lord, I will provide. Don't worry about it. I will provide. Father, we trust you. We love you. We serve you. We believe your word is true. In Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen. Let's worship, and then let's go bless the world.